You're listening to episode 127 of the FitsPro podcast, and I would like to welcome you all back because I took an impromptu break. Essentially, I looked at things that I wanted to complete before the end of the year, and I did not have the time and the space to complete what I wanted to complete, along with having podcast episodes, or I could have stopped something else. I could have got off Instagram, but I've spoken about this before. Instagram is kind of at the top of my social free content platform, and the podcast is supplementary to that. So this is the first thing to go when I need space to do something else in my business. And that is a lesson in essentialism. It's a book that I have all of my FitsPros read inside FitsPro Foundations. I heard about it through Hillary Rushford. It is a book called Essentialism by Greg McKeown or McCowan. I never know how to say his last name. And it is learning how to say no to good things that need to wait because they are simply not essential to what you need to get done right now, to the essential task. So that's like a real world lesson for all of you. Someone DM'd me and actually thanked me for verbalizing my break on the podcast and why I was taking it, because it gave them permission to step back from some things that are great things, but simply need to be put on the back burner for a bit. So I am back. I hope to batch like 8 episodes for you through the end of the year. I also have a new microphone. I am praying to Jesus, the Lord in heaven, that this audio sounds fine. It is much different than my previous microphone. The settings are much different. So it sounded fine in my playback in my headphones. I am just hoping that it uploads and sounds fantastic. Please stick with me. Also, we are in our rental, so it's the weekend currently. If you hear lawn mowing or any noise in the background, I apologize. I am hoping that this new system blocks that out really well for you. So today's episode is for the trainer and the trainee alike, and it is general strength and conditioning considerations and tips to make for various reasons and situations within the weight room. So I'm actually really excited for this episode because I think it applies to the majority of people who listen to this podcast on some level. So without further ado, welcome back and let's dive in.
The FitsPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitsPo. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitsPro.
All right, as stated in the intro, I have a new podcast mic. It's like a legit mic, you guys. It's got a podcast arm that attaches to my desk. It is a very, very good microphone. If you are unaware, I have been recording on a $63 Samson mic, which did the job. It was great. I got it while we were traveling the world in 2018 or 2019. And again, that did the job, but I needed to, you know, record underneath a blanket wherever I was in order to have quality audio and avoid echo and all of these things. So 2 years in, we finally have a legit podcast mic. So I'm hoping that it sounds good for you guys. If you are here for the business side of things, I do have a free workshop. It's called Your Biz, Your Way, 3 Steps to Build a Profitable Online Health and Fitness Business. And you can register for that at anniemiller.co/workshop-register. If you are here for literally anything else or business, go ahead and go to anniemiller.co/resources. That is where I have compiled everything free that I can possibly offer you on the coach's side, on the trainee side, on the entrepreneur side. So just have at it, get any resources that apply to you. Before we dive into the episode, I do want to thank the sponsor, which is Legion Athletics. They are the number one brand of all natural sport supplements in the world. If you don't know, I have been contacted and pitched by a lot of supplement companies over the years as I'm sure you may assume, being in the health and fitness industry. It is also not a very regulated industry when it comes to supplements, and that is what I appreciate about Legion, is that there's just no bullshit. You get exactly what they say is in the ingredients. You can look up scientific studies. It's 100% formula transparency, so you can see that it is actually scientifically backed with their ingredients and their dosages, why they put a certain amount of something that they put in the supplement. You have access to that information, which I really appreciate as a consumer. I do recognize that supplements are, they're supplements and they're a luxury. So again, you don't absolutely need supplements, but if you are interested in trying out a supplement company that you can trust, I highly, highly suggest Legion Athletics. I absolutely love them. You can use code Annie at checkout to save 20% on your first order, and you will get double Legion reward points if you are an existing customer and you use code Annie. So head to buylegion.com and use code Annie at checkout. All right, today's episode is brought to you by 8+ years of personal strength and hypertrophy training, trial and error, and 7+ years of working with clients in person as well as online. Let's go ahead and get started with one of my favorite tricks of the trade for supersetting exercises, and that is how to work the same muscle group but lower the cardiorespiratory demand of that. So we have... That's one thing, I guess, that's overwhelming about programming, right? We have all of the options when it comes to exercise selection. There are a lot of factors that go into choosing which exercises you pair together, and that is what this trick of the trade is going to address. If we know anything about the cardiovascular system, it is that when we lay down or go upside down for a period of time anyway, the heart rate drops. When we stand, it tends to rise. And of course, there are situational factors at play there, but just generally speaking. So if you're wanting to work, but you have a client or yourself who is rather deconditioned, which basically means their wind or cardiorespiratory system is their limiting factor in comparison to maybe their strength, we can play off of that knowledge and lower the intensity of one exercise by choosing a variation that is either laying down or supported in some way. For instance, a barbell inverted row versus a bent over row. I would hypothesize the heart rate would be lower during the barbell inverted row than a bent over barbell row. We have more muscles at play in the bent over row. You are standing and the load extends from the upper back through the lower back into the glutes and the hamstrings. It is a true posterior chain exercise. Whereas in the inverted row, it is going to mostly tax the upper back only. Both exercises target the upper back as the prime movers, but one allows you to maybe lower the intensity of the overall movement. Same goes for choosing a glute-focused exercise to pair with a Romanian deadlift. A lying single leg bridge would be a fantastic option in order to still target the glutes, but keep the heart rate from continuing to rise because you are in that supine position. Smaller muscle groups and supine or supported positions are something to think about in your future programming if you are looking to lower that intensity and maybe pair a higher intensity, higher demand exercise with a lower one while still targeting the muscle group that you want. But again, maybe keeping that cardiorespiratory demand down if that happens to be a limiting factor for either yourself or a client. You can, of course, tax the cardiorespiratory system or work on capacity if that is, in fact, what you are attempting to do as well. That takes us nicely into the next topic. I talked about this in a previous episode on the blog and on Instagram, and that is to do cardio before or after lifting. This is a very popular topic, and I don't know that it will ever not be a popular topic because I think it's a question that people are literally always going to have. When to do cardio, before or after a lift, separate from a lift, etc., etc. It's a very valid question. And the answer is, it depends. Generally speaking, if strength training is the primary focus, we want to prioritize and perform cardio or more conditioning-based work after the strength training session is complete. If conditioning is the primary focus and the strength training is in support of the conditioning, then you would perform the cardio activities first and follow those up with the strength training or resistance training session. You essentially want to make sure that the primary focus of your training is not being hindered by the other portion of your training, whether that be resistance training or cardio. Also, cardio is not going to inherently ruin your strength gains. This is another question that will forever be asked. It's not going to inherently ruin your hypertrophy, which is your muscle growth. In fact, one of the other points we will talk about today are the benefits that are possible for hypertrophy training from low-intensity steady-state cardio. It is a thing. We will discuss it. In present day, we can look at CrossFit athletes as a perfect example of this. They've pretty much squashed the idea that you can't be super strong and powerful and have a strong aerobic base at the same time. And I have a deep appreciation for CrossFit for that. We saw it in MMA. I am a fan of MMA. I have been for, you know, since I was 18 years old. And that kind of sport and training has power and endurance, and they live cohesively together. CrossFit kind of brought that to mainstream. And again, squashed the idea that you cannot be super strong and powerful and have a strong aerobic base or be good at endurance as well. It also has brought up the idea that you can train both of these in the same season. Yes, of course, at the end ranges of the spectrum, endurance-based type 1 muscle fiber focused exercise is going to hinder, say, you know, a weightlifter in their peak season of needing power and strength. And on the other end of the spectrum, working on type 2 explosive large muscle fibers is likely going to be detrimental to an elite marathon runner, right? But these are extremes, and I don't think they necessarily apply to most general population. I think most general population can benefit from training both endurance and strength and power. For anyone in the middle of that spectrum, again, there are benefits to being cardiovascularly fit as well as strong, and they can 100% coexist. The next point has to do with positioning of lever arms and your limbs and movements in order to create and play with muscular biases of the same exercise. If you did not understand any of that, I don't think any of you are ignorant or idiots or anything, but I want to make sure you do understand what I'm saying. So, playing with biases, there's almost always a bias, and you're likely moving in a manner that does have a bias of some kind when you are doing any exercise. And I particularly love talking about biases because they're a perfect example of keeping things simple when we look at long-term strength and conditioning gains. When I say muscular bias, I am talking about the phenomenon when someone performs a given exercise, but their foot is in a slightly different place, or the shin is at a slightly different angle, or their arm is pulling from a slightly different angle, or they use a different grip. There is a position with the body that causes either an area of a specific muscle to be targeted, like the upper or lower fibers of a given muscle, or a slightly different group of muscles is being targeted. But the same single exercise is being performed. It's just a slightly different variation of that. A super simple example of this, and I would say a popularized example of this, is the Bulgarian split squat. It's been a very popular exercise for decades in order to improve unilateral leg strength. The foot position as well as the torso position can make a difference in whether the exercise has more of a quad bias or more of a glute hamstring bias. Again, you wouldn't call these a different exercise necessarily. It is the same exercise with a slightly different setup. Now, remember, we are using the word bias. So it's not that the glutes shut off in one variation of the Bulgarian split squat and the hamstring shut off in another variation. All of these muscles are working in both of these variations that I just described, but we create a bias towards one group of muscles over the other. So in that case, the foot being closer to the bench creates more of a positive shin angle and has or can produce a quad bias. Whereas moving the foot further away from the bench, the front foot of the working leg, in leaning the chest forward a bit can produce more of a vertical shin angle and biases the glutes and hamstrings. I have personally been playing with a single arm row variation that biases the lats. Essentially, rather than hanging the working arm straight down perpendicular to the floor, the front arm reaches out and we have more shoulder flexion pulling into the row. So it's almost like the opposite of an incline bench press. We are combining a bit of a vertical pull with that horizontal pull. You can see this with bench press versus the incline bench press versus narrow grip bench press. Look at the direction that the muscle fiber travels, and you can typically figure out how to bias different parts of that muscle group based on the direction of the fibers. If you're a trainer, that might make more sense than if you are just a trainee. But honestly, if you just do a Google and look up different muscles, It's a fun thing to look at, so I encourage you to do so. The next one is actually a question that I received on Instagram, and it's something that I teach inside my Annie's Secret Lab of Brain Gains inside Built by Annie, and that is, do you need to change your training program around your menstrual cycle? I've seen some pretty aggressive answers on the interweb in both directions. People thinking that you need to change your entire training cycle all around your menstrual cycle. And then there are people that say it literally shouldn't matter at all. I lay in the middle. I lean towards no, you don't need to change your training program around your menstrual cycle. But let's talk about a few things here. First off, this only applies to a biological female who is ovulating and has a regular menstrual cycle off of hormonal birth control. That has to be prefaced anytime we talk about this. In this case, her hormones are going to regulate every 21 to 34 days, roughly. And during that time, she has four phases of her menstrual cycle: the follicular phase, ovulation, luteal phase, and menstruation, which begins the follicular phase. Her training might feel different during each of these phases, but if her cycle is being well managed, she should be able to complete training as usual. Maybe some slight variations. It might feel a bit more difficult, say during her luteal phase, and maybe she has less energy. Maybe she feels very strong during ovulation or menstruation. For most general population women in this category, I see their cycle as a factor to take into consideration, just like you would with sleep, hydration, getting enough protein, carbohydrates, managing stress outside of the gym. It's just another factor to consider, but not a need to constantly be programming around her cycle. That is just an opinion, so please take it for what it's worth. But in that opinion, if a client's menstrual cycle is severely affecting their training, I would definitely look at the health of that cycle overall and training itself, and maybe referring out to a hormone specialist if that is absolutely needed. It can be very empowering as a female to learn about your natural menstrual cycle, and I suggest reading the book Period Repair Manual for that purpose. Let's transition into making sure that your client that you are working with is working hard enough in order to make hypertrophy and strength gains. That is our next point, is working at high enough loads to gain strength. There can be many factors as to why someone is not putting on muscle or making strength gains. I am discussing one of those possibilities. Very simply, not working hard enough is one of those reasons. And not only not working hard enough, but not following tempo and using a challenging load in order to get that mechanical tension that we need in order to gain strength and or increase cross-sectional area of a muscle, also known as hypertrophy. In most strength programs, you'll be working at 75% of a one rep max, more often than not, at least for the main lift. That being the squat, deadlift, bench press, and overhead press. accessory work will likely be in that strength range as well, whether it is for hypertrophy or strength. You're using a challenging load. You're probably working at an RPE of a 7.5 to 8. And of course, none of that matters if the training is not getting enough protein, prioritizing sleep and recovery. Gains are made in recovery. But I do think people underestimate the effort that it takes in order to build muscle and strength. It requires discomfort and stressing your muscles at new levels, whether that be the working from a different angle or adding a higher load or adding more volume. Something has to be challenging the muscle that it has not yet experienced. Last but not least, welcoming cardio into your resistance training, not within the session necessarily, but within a program for sure. That is implementing low intensity steady state cardio for strength and hypertrophy training benefits. Yes, I said what I said. This is going to be short. Your aerobic base, your body's ability to exercise in the presence of oxygen for a long duration, is the basis of fitness. It's the basis of what we would call your work capacity in the simplest sense. Entertain the fact that working on your aerobic base with a heart rate around, 60% range can have positive carryover into your work capacity in the weights section of the gym. Improving your aerobic base simply allows you and your body to work more efficiently and ideally work harder for a longer period of time to increase your overall work capacity. That is a win. No? I think yes. That is all I have for you today. Finally, if you do love this episode, if you love the FitsPro podcast, I received a lot of love on Instagram while I took the break, and I highly, highly appreciated that. It was very fun to see that people were still listening to the podcast, even though new episodes were not dropping. Please head over to iTunes, Apple Podcasts, leave the show 5 stars and a written review. It is more appreciated than you know, and I do still choose a review of the week and a listener of the month from those reviewers, from those reviews of the week. The listener of the month gets 50% off any non-membership program that I offer. Plus, you get a freebie from Phrase Skincare, which is my favorite skincare company. I have exclusively been using them since 2017. You can always use my code FDBA to save with them. And if you are not on my main mailing list, I made some updates while we were gone. Now, Annie's Weekly Rep has become Annie's Weekly Wisdom, where I take a question that I have been asked on one of my platforms and answer it in depth. And then I also give you a question. So from my answer, I ask you to ponder something or think about something or answer a question as well. And then of course we have Annie's Daily Dose. So you can access both of those at anniemiller.co/news. And there are exclusive podcast listener discounts at the bottom of every email. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the FitsPro podcast.